Okay, good morning, everyone. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Lili Nishmas, Avi Mori Harav, David Svi Ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Aleph. And we are thankfully going to be approaching some more normal waters here in the Yam HaTamad. Let me just set the table for you for today's daf. Yesterday, at the end of the daf, the Gemara was discussing whether or not the Mishnah had said that in order to get rid of jaundice, you can take a certain medication, a certain drug, that would also render you unable to have children. And the Gemara was addressing the question of how is that permissible? So first the Gemara suggested, well, if your intention is not that, you're not doing something physically from the outside to remove your ability, it's just through drugs, it just happens sort of by itself, so the Gemara says it's not a problem. But then the Gemara says not true because, yeah, the Gemara tries to bring a proof from the case of the rooster. The Gemara says no, but the reason why the rooster doesn't procreate when you remove its sarbal is not because you actually remove the ability, it just has no interest. That's not a prohibition, so you can't bring a proof from there. So the Gemara actually comes to the conclusion, Ella Bisris. When the Mishnah said you're allowed to take the drug to get rid of jaundice when it's also going to render you unfit to have children, it's talking about a guy that was already unfit to have children. He was already a sris. So that's what we're sort of up to. So the very bottom line says, Ela bisris on Kufiyut Amabes. Let's pick it up from right over there. So the Gemara says, wait a second. How could you tell me that someone who was already a sris, let's say he was already castrated or he already had an operation, he wasn't able to have children anymore, or whatever it might have been. So because he was already a sris, so now now there's no problem. You want to tell me because he's already a sris, there's no problem for him to drink this medication which is now going to cause him further to be a sris. There is a prohibition to bake a carbon mincha in a chametz fashion, to allow a carbon mincha to rise. All the carbonus mincha, which is to say 99% of the carbon minchas, are all matzah and not chametz. So if you would bake a mincha, either you would knead it and allow it to rise, or you would roll it and allow it to rise, or bake it and allow it to rise. All three of these you're not allowed to do. Mechametz acha mechametz chayav shneimar lo se'afa chametz lo se'asa chametz. So you're not allowed to do anything. So even if a person had already needed it as chametz, still if he bakes it as chametz, even though he already messed it up, it's already chametz. But now he bakes it while it's chametz, or he rolls the dough and rolls the dough as chametz, you violate it. So the Gemara says, similarly, just like mechametz achar mechametz is chayev, misares b'misares achar misares shu chayev. So too, even someone who's already, incapable of having kids, if you're going to now do a measure to further ensure that he won't be able to have kids, you're still chayev. B'misares achar misares shu chayev shenemar, u'ma'uch v'chasus v'nasuk v'charus. All these four levels of a person being castrated, of him having his Eiver HaZachros to be cut off in different levels. Says the Gemara, Im Al Karus. Karus means that you cut off the Beitzim, but they're still sort of hanging there. Im Al Karus Chayev Al Nosuk, which means you totally cut it off. Lo Kolshkin. Ella, what's the Chiddush? Lo Havi Nosek Achar Koris Shu Chayev. Even though he was already partially disabled beforehand, if you now finish it off, you're still going to be chayav. So the Gemara is back to its original question. Even if you are already a sris, it should still be usur to take this medication that's going to render you impotent. Says the Gemara, ve'ela bezakein. The Gemara says, okay, you're right, we're not talking about a sris. We're talking about an elderly person who is not capable of having children anymore. Ask the Gemara, is that really true?
Rabbi, the word is infertile, not impotent.
Thank you. Well, good thing we got doctors over here. I made the same mistake yesterday. Yeah, thank you. Infertile. What's remind us, Impotent means you're not capable of having the act of relations, right? Impotent means you're not capable of having the act of relations. Infertile means you're capable of having the act, but whatever I'm sorry?
The zera doesn't work.
The zera doesn't work, right. Okay, thank you.
That's infertile.
Thank you. Says the Gemara. So wait, who says that an elderly person is absolutely incapable of having children? V'hamar Rabbi Yochanan, hein, hechaziruni l'na'arusi. Rabbi Yochanan says that certain refuah, certain drugs that a person can take even when they're elderly can allow him once again to be able to have children, even if he was elderly. So therefore, the Gemara is assuming if an elderly person, I don't know, they knew about Viagra back then, I don't know, but an elderly person who was incapable of having relations, and now he can come back to it early. So just because you're elderly and you can no longer have children, so the Gemara in Gittin seems to say there's certain medications or that you can take that will allow you to continue to have relations. Hey, Nenech Zirin Narusi. Ella, so the Gemara says, you're right. So therefore, don't tell me that an elderly person, there's no Isser of Sirus. There's an Isser of Sirus by someone who's already Misuras. There's an Isser of Sirus by somebody who is elderly because he can go back to being young. The Gemara in Gittin says, Ella Beisha. Says the Gemara, no, who's allowed to take this medication of jaundice even though it's going to render her incapable of having children? Infertile? Ella Beisha. She's not Mechuyevas in Pru Revu, so there's no, that's the way Rashi understands this Gemara. Others understand it slightly differently. She's not Mechuyevas in Pru Revu. Therefore, there's no Isser of rendering her infertile. Oh, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Gadamar, Al Shneem, Hu Omer, Vaivarachosam, Elokim, Vayomalem, Pru Revu, Maiklam Emar. But if you hold, they're both Chayv and Pru Revu, both the husband and the wife. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. So how's he going to read the Mishnah? If the wife is also Chayv, is in Pru Revu, how's he going to read the Mishnah? Answer the Gemara. B'zakena, an elderly woman. Apparently the Gemara is assuming that even though an elderly man could go back to the earlier state, an elderly woman cannot go back to the earlier state unless you have the miracle of Sara Imenu. So says the Ritva, right? So says the Ritva. Sara Imenu was a miracle. Okay, a miracle, that can happen. But Bederech HaTeva, even though the Gemara in Gittin says men, once they're elderly, can no longer have kids, they can take a medication which can bring them back their youth. But by a woman, the Gemara, the Ritva says, the Gemara is assuming that can't happen. Inami Ba'akara, or a woman who is an Akara, so she was never capable of having children. So therefore, the Isser of Sris does not apply to her. Now, I mentioned before that Rashi said that we're talking about a woman who's not Mechayev is in Pru or Revu. The Minchas Chinuch has a problem with Rashi. How could you say that the Isser of castrating someone, it depends on the mitzvah of Pru Revu, if this applies also to animals? There's an Isser of Sirus to animals, even though animals don't have a mitzvah of Pru Revu. And therefore, so the Minchas Chinuch is bothered by this kasha. How could our Gemara, according to Rashi, our Gemara assumes that if there's no mitzvah of Pru Revu, there's no Isser of Sirus? So he says, from animals should disprove that. And therefore, he writes, the Kavanah of the Gemara is to answer that the Torah did not aser Sirus by a woman at all. Not because she's not Mechuyevus in Pru Revu. Stam, the Isser of Sirus has to do with the Aver HaZachros. It has to do with the man. Only a man can get castrated. So doing a surgery on a woman, let's say, some kind of surgery to not allow her to have children, the Torah never said any Isser by a woman, period. Not because she's not Mechuyevus in Pru Revu. Nothing to do with Pru Revu. Just stam, that the whole Isser of Sirus was only by a man and not by a woman. So says the Minchas Chinuch. Fine. Apparently, Tosfos and the Ramban seem to say like that as well. Take a look at this one-line Tosfos, El Bazakin. Hachal Oshayich Lameima Mishim Misaris Acham Misaris Dezekena Lav Sirusu. By a woman, it's not Sirus. That's Tosfos Shita. Okay, let's continue. Hachoshesh Bishinov, someone who has a toothache. Lo yigama ba'en es achometz. He should not fill his mouth with vinegar, because normal people don't do that. So it's clear you're doing it for refuah. Now, in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Gemara has a suffix if a toothache is considered to be such a serious pain and a problem that you could be mechal Shabbos for a toothache. Herta Maisa. Unbelievable. So the Gemara has two opinions in Avodah Zarah, whether like a real geshmak, root canal, I don't know how bad it is, but that if you don't take care of it, it could really, again, I don't know if we have some dentists on the call. Dr. Ron, aren't you a dentist here? Dr. Ron, I think Ron Deutsch is a DDS. Dr. Ron will have to tell us, could there be some serious major medical issue with the teeth that could be such an issue that mamish could threaten your life, a teeth issue?
I've had people that would give me their left kidney. They've been in so much pain. So, yes.
That's considered to be a chola. That's considered to be such a chola. Anyway, this is an issue in Maseches Avodah Zarah. That's what I thought. So the Gemara Avodah Zarah has a suffix. Is a ke'ev shinayim allowed to be mechal Shabbos for that? And according to that, the chashash, when our Gemara says the choshish b'shinov means, not that you have, because if you had such a serious system, we wouldn't be talking, forget refuah, well, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So if our Gemara is talking about a much lower level, not like that kind of pain, but a much lower level pain, and that's why it's usser. That's why it would be usser to gurgle, we'll see if it's to swallow or to gurgle. The Gemara is going to talk about it. Whether it means to spit it back out or to swallow it, the Gemara is going to talk about it. Vinegar. However, if it really hurts you that much, like Dr. Ram was just describing, if you're mamish, like you're in crazy, crazy pain, so then you'd be allowed to be mechal Shabbos d'oraisa, forget refuah. But the other opinion of Avodah Zarah says, no, a toothache is, come on, you know what, people, I don't want to make, they, no, you're not gonna get such a serious, the makah of a toothache, you're never allowed to be mechal Shabbos, according to the other opinion, even if it hurts you very much, because there's going to be no danger to life. And the choshesh means that even though it hurts a lot, it's still usur to do it. And that seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara over there, that a toothache is not considered to be, life-threatening under any circumstances. The Torah and the Pasna, Shekeiv Shinayim, I'm sorry. According to the Torah in the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, then no, a toothache is considered to be a makah shel chol, and you are allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Mishum suffik nefashis lahakel. Wow. It says in Shulchan Aruch that a toothache, if it's a very severe toothache, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos because it could lead to a suffik nefashis. Certainly, I guess, Dr. Ron, if it gets infected or something like that, if you have a serious issue in your teeth that gets infected, that could certainly cause a danger to life, as the Beis Yosef explains. But that's only when it really, really hurts a lot and your entire body is in pain as a result of that pain. So that's what it says in Mishnah Berurah over there, apparently. Mishnah Berurah, like, if you're mamish, your whole body is rocking from the pain of this toothache, like Dr. Ron just described, so then it could be an issue. Anyway, so that's two opinions about how to understand this Mishnah. Are we talking about a severe toothache? Some say no, a severe toothache, that's what we're paskin, that you can be mechal Shabbos A to Z. You know, there's no Shabbos when it comes to that, when you're in such severe pain. Anyway, let's back in the Mishnah. Aval metabehu kedarko, but you are allowed to dip your bread in vinegar like people do. Vim nisrape nisrape. And if the fact that you're eating your bread with vinegar, if that heals your mouth, gvaldik. That's okay, you're allowed to do it because that's the normal way people eat bread. They dip it in vinegar. So if you happen to have a toothache, so you're a lucky guy, you're allowed to eat the bread and dip it in vinegar. Hachoshish b'masnav. If a person has a problem with his loins, his hips, or near his makom ha'erva, lo yasach hayayin v'chometz, don't anoint yourself there with wine or vinegar, because that's weird. It's clearly refuah. Aval sachu es hashemen, but to put oil on there, that everybody does. V'lo shemen verid. You shouldn't use rose oils that come from rose, because that was clearly for refuah in those times. It's very expensive. It would only be used for refuah. But b'nei malachim, if you were a prince, sachin shem verid amalchus, same shkin dark and losach b'chol, Rabbi Shimon Omer, call Yisrael b'nei malachim aim. So the Mepharshim explain over here, Rashi explains, that Rabbi Shimon does not understand that there could be a difference, that oh, if you're a rich guy, so you usually use this. So then for you, it's not refuah, but for somebody else, it is a problem refuah. He says, no, call yourself b'nei malachim heim, which means everyone's equal. And if it's mutter for b'nei malachim, if they usually use this rose oil, even on a weekday, so then it's mutter for everyone. It's mutter for everyone.
Rabbi, didn't we have this line on Lag BaOmer? Rabbi Shimon said, call yourself b'nei malachim
heim. Yeah. This, exactly. Very good. Call b'nei malachim heim. This was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Shita B'chol HaShas. Yeah. Very good. It also comes up in Brachas, right? It says, B'nei Malachim, why Sof Zman Kriya Shema 3 hours? Because the B'nei Malachim would sleep till 9 o'clock in the morning. I don't think, did the Mishnah say over there, call Yisrael, 1 second, let me see. That is, right? That's in the first parak. Call Yisrael B'nei Malachim. Did he say it there also? No, there, I think the Rishonim raised it over there. It's not in the Mishnah. It's on Daf Ches. Where is that? Daf Tes and Brachas. 1 second. What's it say over there? Right? Kriyash Mashal Shach, where it says Ad. The first opinion says until Nates. Meimasai. Ad HaNates HaCham Rabbi Shuomad Shalashos Shkein Derech B'nei Malachim Lamed B'Shalashos. Right. So the question is, why doesn't Rabbi Shimon say here, the Mishnah assumes there's a davar pashit. Rabbi Shua says that everybody can read till 3 hours. Rabbi Lezer disagrees. Rabbi Lezer says, no, it's only Nates. What do you mean? Why do you say, call yourself B'nai Malachim? Why don't we read it over there also? Okay, the Rishonim talk about it over there. All right, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Rami le Rav Acha Aricha Dehu Rav Acha Bar Papa le Rabbi Avo. Tana Nachoshesh B'shinov Lo Yigama Ben Esachometz. Our Mishnah says, guys, a toothache, you're not allowed to swallow vinegar, lemeimra, dechometz male lishinayim. Does this seem to imply that vinegar is a good thing for the teeth? V'haksiv, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, when Hashem is trying to say how bad, when the Navi is trying to talk about how bad laziness is, you know how bad laziness is? It's kechometz lishinayim ucha'ashen leinayim. It's telling you that it's a bad thing. Chometz lishinayim, vinegar is going to make your teeth feel worse, not feel better. What's going on? It's against a pasuk in Mishlei. Answer the Gemara, Loikasha, ha b'kiyuha tipere, ha b'chala. So one, it depends what kind of vinegar it is. If it's a vinegar made out of bad wine, vinegar that was bad wine that was made from grapes that were not fully ripened, so that's bad for the teeth. But the one that's good for the teeth, that's talking about good wine made from fully formed grapes, and that wine ferments. When that wine ferments, it becomes vinegar, but that would be good for the teeth. That's one answer. V'yibay, you say, mahava b'chala. No, they're both talking about good wine, meaning vinegar that came from good wine. But ha de'ika maka, ha de'leka maka. It depends if your toothache has a wound attached to it. If the toothache has a wound, so then vinegar is good for it. But if there's no wound, it's bad for it. Ikamaka mase, it's going to heal you. Lekamaka mirape. Don't be fooled. Mirape, you would think it means refuah. It means the opposite.
Actually, vinegar is very bad for you. It has a acidity level of pH 2.85.
There we go.
It damages all the enamel.
There we go.
It's really good for you. Not good for you.
Today is the dentist daf. Today is the dentist daf. Gavaldik. The dentist should be giving the daf today. Today is for the dentist. Gavaldik, Dr. Ron. You're in the car, Dr. Ron?
Yeah, I just got into the office. Yeah,
okay. Look at that. See that? Unbelievable. Gewaldig, Dr. Ron. Anyway, the Gemara seems to say that it depends. Very good. So mirape means, it exactly as Dr. Ron just said. That's what the Gemara says. Lekamaka mirape, it's going to make it worse because it's actually going to cause Mekaved says a buser, it ends up constricting the skin, and it causes it to create a wound. Lo yigama ben esachometz. So the Gemara has a contradiction. Vatanya lo yigama upolate. You're not allowed to gurgle it and spit it out. Avol megama ubolea. You are allowed to swallow it. The Mishnah seems to say, you're not even allowed to swallow it. So what's going on, Rabbi? Kitrana mimasnisin megama upolita. Another mission did not mean swallow, meant just like mush it around and spit it out. That's one answer. Rav Armano, afil teima megamu bolea. Kan lifnei tibol. One is when you're swallowing it in the normal course of eating before you would eat. So you dip before you dipped your bread in vinegar. So you're allowed to swallow vinegar because it's not clear you're doing it for a fool, because apparently this is part of the meal. But kan la'achatibol, after you already finished dipping your bread in vinegar, so you're not having vinegar anymore. So now if you're going to have vinegar, it's going to be clear it's a refuah. Ask the Gemara. V'neima midalifnei tibol shari la'achatibol nami shari. Why don't you say once it's permissible before the bread, it should be permissible afterwards also. D'shaminale the Rava d'islei ho'il. We know that Rava generally holds of the shita of a ho'il. Which ho'il is this? Every ho'il is different. This ho'il means once something's permitted on Shabbos, it could be mutter even on Yom Kippur. What do you mean, to Amar Rava? This has to do with dipping in a mikvah on Yom Kippur. Lek amidi de b'Shabbos shari even Yom Kippur v'aser. Rava holds that whatever is permissible on Shabbos is also permissible on Yom Kippur, just like it's when it comes to rechitza. Interestingly, because it's halachic, it's not considered to be rechitza. So Rava holds, just like it's mutter to go to a mikvah on Shabbos, because it just likes you. It doesn't look like you're actually. We're talking about somebody who's tameh to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, like a woman Friday night. She's allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, technically speaking, right? A woman's allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos. So what would be the problem? The problem would be makah bepatish. Maka bepatish, because she was tame, and now she's making herself tar. But it doesn't look like that. Elanira kimiskar b'mayim. Kach gam b'yom ha-kippurim, soto on Yom Kippur, even though there's an issa rechitza. So if somebody sees somebody going to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, he's clearly not going to wash himself. He's just going to even though everyone, it's clear that he's going to fix his tame status. Let's say a woman. Can she go to the mikvah Yom Kippur night? So technically speaking, Rava holds it's okay. Hold the Shabbos Shari, Biyom HaKippurim Nami Shari. So Soto, we should say, Rava should say over here, just like before the dipping of the bread, it's okay to have vinegar, so too afterwards. Answer the Gemara, you're right. Hoda be Rava Mehach. Rava backed out of the distinction with swallowing the vinegar before or after the bread. Ask the Gemara, Memai de Mehach Hoda be. How do you know he backed out of that one? Maybe he backed out of the comparison between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, and he held it real, even though on Shabbos it's mutter to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, it's usser. Because on Yom Kippur, obviously they know you're not doing it to go take a shower. You're not allowed to take a shower on Yom Kippur. So clearly you're doing it to just fix yourself from being tummy to be tar. Someone says, no, you can't say Rabbi backed out of that one. Lo sakadaita. No, don't tell me Rabbi backed out of that one. Desanya. Because we lived in a rice, a kol chai v'tfilos, tovlin kedarkon, bein betishimam, bein miyom ha-kippurim. We have a fairish brisa. We still don't hold this halacha l'maisa, but technically speaking, according to the letter of the halacha, going to this brisa, if you're chai v'tfila, any woman who's obligated to go to the mikvah that night, or you became tamei, tmei meis, whatever tumah you have and you have to go to the mikvah, you're allowed to go to the mikvah, both on Tishbav and Yom Kippur, because it's not a rechitza shel tainug. You're not just going taking a shower for pleasure. What's asur on Yom Kippur and Tishbav is rechitza shel tainug. You're not doing it for the pleasure. You're doing it because you're tamei and you're mechuyev to go to the mikvah. So the Braisa says it's mutter. And because we say, since on Shabbos, it's mutter also Yom Kippur mutter, even though the reason doesn't apply. So certainly Rava backed out on the distinction between vinegar before eating bread and vinegar after eating the bread. Fine, let's continue. Says the Gemara, Hachoshesh b'masnav, person who has pain in his hips or in his loins, in the place of the erva, so he shouldn't anoint himself there with wine or vinegar, but oil is okay because that's usual. But not rose oil, b'nei malachim, use rose oil. Rabbi Shimon says, call yourself b'nei malachim. I'm Rabbi Yabarazav, the Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Avraham Barzav saying to the Rav that Rav says that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon that call Yisrael b'nei malachim, so everybody is allowed to anoint themselves with rose oil. Now, for some reason, the Rishonim debate this over here, but for some reason the Gemara assumes once Rav is paskening like the lenient opinion of Rabbi Shimon, apparently Rabbi Shimon was generally speaking much more lenient when it comes to the laws of Shabbos by everywhere in the laws of Shabbos. Like, for instance, Dovah Shein Miskavin, that's the famous that's Gemara is going to raise right over here. And for some reason, the Gemara over here is assuming that if Rav, now Rav was usually strict by the laws of Shabbos, so the Gemara has a problem with that. Why is Rav following Rabbi Shimon the more lenient opinion if in most places in Shas, when it comes to the laws of Shabbos, Rav usually follows the more strict opinion? That's the way Rashi understands this Gemara. The Gemara understands that if Rav passed like Rabbi Shimon over here by Shemin Vered to be lenient, that everyone's allowed to use Shemin Vered, he's going to pass on like Rabbi Shimon by all the laws of Shabbos. Very strange Havamina, no? Strange Havamina. Why would you assume that? Maybe he just held like him over here. He liked his opinion, but that's the way Rashi understands. Says the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Rav, Halach Rabbi Shimon, Lameima de Rav Rabbi Shimon, Svirulei, by all Hilcha Shabbos, but the famous case in Ksubas Davov, the Amar Rav Shimon Achim Mishmei de Rav, Hai Mesuchraya de Naziosa. But what about the case of the rag that they stuck in the hole of the beer keg? Oh, there's a beer keg, so they would pour, there was a spigot, but in order to stop it up, they would stick a rag in it. So, the rag that was used to close up the spigot, the hole of the beer keg, you're not allowed to ram that rag, that shmata, you're not allowed to ram the rag around the spigot to stop up the hole around the beer keg on yontif. Why? Because it's a big machlokas, why? Sochet, because you're squeezing. This thing was saturated with beer, and you're by sticking it into the hole, ramming it into the hole, you're squeezing it. Even though it's a davar she'ena miskaven, you're not intending, you're just intending to stop up, you just want to stop the beer from coming out, but it's going to end up, you're sticking this rag in there, you're going to squeeze the beer out of it. So it's davar she'ena miskaven. But Rav says usser. So you see, Rav holds davar she'ena miskaven is usser against Rabbi Shimon. But we know Rabbi Shimon holds davar she'ena miskaven is mutter. So ask the Gemara, how can you tell me Rav holds Rabbi Shimon to be lenient if by the case of the beer keg, which is davar she'ena miskaven, Rav said it's usser because of sochet, a tolda of dosh, or a tolda of melabein, a big fat toisis ksubas davov. Is it dosh or is it melabein? A whole discussion. What's the issue? Is it shaykh melabein by shar mashkin? A big fat toisis and davov in ksubas? Answers the Gemara, no. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees it's going to be usher by the rag with the beer keg. Why? Because it's a psik ratio. Says the Gemara, I feel the Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon agrees by a case of psik ratio. When you jam that rag into the spigot to stop up the area around the spigot of the beer keg, it's 100% sure going to result in sochet, in squeezing out the beer that's in that rag. What if you chop off a chicken's head? It's not going to die. It might run around for a little while afterwards, but it's dead. It's dead. It's dead. It has still impulses, so it reflexes, so it'll still run. It's like a chicken without a head. That's the expression, right? He's running around like a chicken without a head. That comes from this Gemara. Psik reisha v'lo yamas. Ask the Gemara. V'hamar v'chia b'ashi amar rav halacha k'rabi Yehuda. Okay, here you got out of it. But we know we have elsewhere that rav pasan k'rabi Yehuda. V'rav chanam v'rami amar shmu halacha k'rabi Shimon. V'rav chanam v'rami masli below gavri without intermediary amaroyim. Rav amar halacha k'rabi Yehuda. Rav says halacha k'rabi Yehuda. V'shmu halacha k'rabi Shimon. Answer the Gemara. Elo amar rav ani v'arisha b'chabur targimna me and the line of the chabur. Who's the line of the chabur? The best bacher in the chabur, best guy in the shir. Elo amar rav ani v'arisha b'chabur targimna umanu. Who's that? Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon v'lav mitame. Yeah. So when Rav passed him like Rabbi Shimon here, he happened to agree to malacha, but not because he held like Rabbi Shimon's logic. Usually Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Here he happened to hold like Rabbi Shimon, but not because of Rabbi Shimon's reasoning. Not because of the of Kol Yisrael b'nei Malachim. But it's for a different reason. My halach Rabbi Shimon v'lav mitameh. So what taka was the reason? Ilei my halach Rabbi Shimon d'shari v'lav mitameh d'ilei Rabbi Shimon savar maseh. Rabbi Shimon holds that rose oil heals. V'Rav Savar lo maseh, and Rav holds that rose oil does not heal, and that's why it's permissible. The Savar Rav lo maseh v'amidiktani b'nei melachim sachan l'gav maseh shemen rev mechlal demaseh. It's not a machlokas in Metzias. He didn't get the Metzias wrong. That doesn't make sense. The Mishnah seems to clearly say that the princes used to use this rose oil. So clearly it works. Don't tell me it doesn't work. Ella. Halach Rabbi Shimon Deshari V'lav Mitameh. Dilu Rabbi Shimon Savar Af Agav Delo Shchiach. Even Rabbi Shimon holds, even though it's very hard to find, even if you live in a place where it's very hard for you to find rose oil, because it's very expensive, so therefore everybody knows that you're doing it for a four. Nevertheless, the old Shari, the Rav Savar, no, that's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon holds, even if you're in a place where it's clear that you're using it for refuah, it's still mutter. It's very expensive. People don't buy it. But Rav holds no. Rav Savar, no. Ish shchiach in v'lo shchiach lo. If you live in a place where it's very available and accessible, so then it's permissible. V'lo shchiach lo. Uva'asr the Rav shchiach mishcha devar. That happened to be in the town of Rav. It was very shchiach. So that's why he permitted it. But generally speaking, if it was very hard to find, so you went out of your way to go pay a lot of money to find the Shemen Verit, it's clear that you're doing it for refuah, and that would be a problem. That's the way Rav held. But Rabbi Shimon held across the board. Whether it was easier to get or hard to get, whether it was expensive or cheap, it didn't make a difference. Rabbi Shimon said, call yourself a Nebelachim, and once one person somewhere is allowed to use it, anybody everywhere is allowed to use it as well. Okay. Hadron Alach Shmona Shratzim. That is the end of Perek 14. On to Perek 15, the 15th parak, and we're going to begin by dealing with all the laws of knots, making knots on Shabbos. What kind of knots are you allowed to make on Shabbos? So the general rule is a kesher uman or a kesher shel kayama, which the Rishonim understand to mean any knot that is very tight, it's very, very tight, or even if it's not such a tight knot, but it's made to last more than a week, is an issa d'oraisa. If you have one or the other, it's an issa d'rabbanan. If you and the poskim assume, most poskim assume that even if it's made to last more than a day, so then it could be a problem in issa d'rabbanan. But if it's the knot is made to last less than 24 hours, then it's going to be permissible. So to tie your shoes. So that's why. Many poskim say that when one ties their shoes on Shabbos, you should not tie your shoes with a double knot. Because a double knot, meaning you know you do the first knot, then a double bow, I should say. A double bow on top of a knot. So many poskim say you should not tie your shoes that way on Shabbos because that's already a more permanent type of situation which could potentially last a very, very, very long time. Even if you're only intending to make that knot for less than 24 hours, but it's very durable. So since it's a very strong, tight knot, you shouldn't do that. So when you're tying your shoes on Shabbos, you should just tie the one knot and then a single bow on top of the one knot. That's okay. What does the poskim say? That'll be mutter. Because that's not going to last the whole Shabbos, generally speaking. The other place this comes up on Shabbos, apparently my kids have told me, maybe this is a shtick that everybody here knows, although nowadays kids don't wear ties on Shabbos anymore. Unbelievable. Just people, kids, adults. It's like it's gone out the window. When I grew up, in Vinay Sharon and Teaneck, there was not one kid or adult who wasn't wearing a tie and shul on Shabbos when I was growing up. Now, there's not one kid at all is wearing a tie, and probably 70% of the adults in many shuls are not wearing ties. That's what happened. I don't know. But anyway, and at work, people don't wear ties anymore. When I was growing up, you went to work, you had to wear a tie. No. Now it's dress down. First, it was dress down Friday. They said, Im kvar az kvar, dress down Friday. We feel so good on Friday. Why just Friday? Just, you know, La Yehudim. Do it the whole week already. It's good enough for Friday. I'm meeting clients on Friday without the tie, so it's good enough for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday also. So now my kids tell me, one of my kids do wear ties, but they tell me that they've never once undone the tie. Really? You just like loosen it, take it off. You never have to make a tie. Gevaldige shtick. So let's say you make that tie on Shabbos. So then that might be a problem. This time my kid told me for 3 years he hasn't once undone his tie. It's been completely tied for 3 years. Every single Shabbos just loosens it, takes it off, and makes it stronger. And anyway, I don't know why I didn't figure this out. I always thought I was older and wiser than them. But then what do you need to make a tie every time? Just Just loosen it, take it off, and tighten it. So if you would, again, the first time they did it was probably on a Friday, Ms. Thumb, was probably on a Friday afternoon. This is not a problem. But if you were to make such a tie on Shabbos, let's say it came loose by accident. Oh, no. So now on Shabbos, I'm going to make the knot. I want it to last the next 3 years. So that's a problem. That will be a problem to do that on Shabbos. Oh, let's see. Okay, let's see the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Ve'elu kisharim shechayavin aleim. The following knots you're chayav on Shabbos. These are kesher uman. Kesher hagamolim, a knot made by a camel driver. They would actually pierce the camel's nose and tie a knot through its nose, a little string to allow and tie another string through that to tie the camel up. The kesher hasaponim, a similar thing by the head of a boat. You have their little ring on the head of the boat. Used to be made out of rope, and that's meant to last forever. And it's also a kesher uman. Both tying them and untying them. Rameir Omer, kol kesher yochel atir b'achem yadav, any knot that you can untie with one hand, ein chayav in alav. Says the Gemara, my kesher agamam kesher zapanim ilema, kitra dekatre bizmama. If you're talking about, it's the knot that's made on the nose ring of the camel. And that's what they would use to tie it to a pole. V'kitra dekatre b'istarida. And the one on a boat that was tied to the ring on the head of a boat, which they would tie it up with. The Gemara says, no, no, that was made to be tied and untied. When you tied up the camel, you tied it up and untied it. That's not a kesher kayama. Ella, kitra dizmama gufei. No, it doesn't mean the one that you would tie the camel to the post with. It meant the knot itself that went through the nose of the actual camel. And udistari de gufe, and on the boat itself, that never got untied. That's the ring that's around the tip of the boat. That ring itself never got untied. Ramei Roma called kesher that you can be matir with one hand in a chayv. Boyer of achtavui, achve demar acha. Aniva, a bow. If you have a bow, or a meir ma, what's the name of a bow? According to a meir. The reason Rameir is that you can untie it with one hand. This one you can also untie one hand. It's not so tight. But this bow knot is tight. Teku, says the Gemara. I'm not sure what the answer is.
It seems to imply that why are they calling out the camel knot and the boat knot? If why those two examples? It just seems to say that if it's permanent, you can't do it. So why those two specifically?
So I think the Rishonim here obviously say that's considered to be a kesher uman. That you had to be it was a certain kind of knot that only those the camel drivers and the boat drivers knew how to make. It was more about the specialized nature of it, not the permanent nature. Again, we're going to see in the Gemara. Obviously, the Gemara is going to go in more length about this. Let's continue. The very next Mishnah I was going to talk about this. Yeshtruk Sharon Shein Chayav in Alayan, Kikesher Agamol and Kesher Asapanim. Some of them are only Yasid Rabbanan. Kosheris Isha Mifta Chaluka. So the woman ties together the two sides of her shirt, Vichute Svacha, or her kerchief, Vishal Psakya, her belt, Viritsuos Minol, your shoelaces, the sandal, or your sandal straps, the nodos yayin v'shemen, the leather pouches of wine and oil, tying the tops together, kederish el basar, pennies to tie together. All these things were untied and tied every day, so they're not domo l'keshek yom. Rabbi Lezman Yaakov Omer, koshrin lefnei abehema b'shvil shel oteitza, you're allowed to tie something up in front of the animal that it won't go out. Says the Gemara. Hagu fakasha. Wait a minute, this Mishnah contradicts itself. This still in the Rabbanon, it sounds like. Which is it? Is it us in the Rabbanon or is it Mutal L'Chadchila? Answer the Gemara. Hachi ka'amar. Yesh k'shar m'shein chayav in aleim k'kesh ha'gamal n'kesh ha'saponim, but it's usher mid Rabbanon mind you. Kitra d'katri bizmama. The string that's tied to the camel, The kitchen, the kajib is three to the string that's tied to the boat hole. Those are the rabbanon. But the other ones in the mission, which are made for less than 24 hours, so if it's made to be tied up for a longer period of time, then it's going to be us the rabbanon. But if it's only made to tie and untie each day, then it's going to be mutter. That's the general rule when it comes to Shabbos. A knot that's made to be tied and untied every day, that's why your shoelaces is okay with a single knot. But with a double knot, even though it's made to be tied and untied each day, it's got a different problem. It's not a problem about the length, it's also a problem about how tight it is. The double knot is very, very strong and very, very tight, so that's a problem even if it's made to be tied and untied. So you need both things, Avi. You need A, that it's not tight. That's the way that we should have understood the Kesher Uman, Avi. It's a question of tightness and permanence. Two different things. In order for it to be mutter, it's got to be not tight and not permanent. Okay, we will stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day. And hopefully see you tomorrow morning, followed by Parashashir, Daf Yomi at 7:30, followed by Parashashir at 8:15 tomorrow morning.